You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Everybody, and welcome back to RBL Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me, it's Matt Gannett. It's Joe Zamataro. Guys, the first time in a while we've had a full squad here to talk about some Lightning hockey. So, guys, welcome back to the show. A lot of good things to talk about this week. It's been a good run for the Bolts as of late. Welcome everybody who's joining with us live here. Obviously, the chat already popping off and active, so we appreciate you guys jumping in here as well. Ethan will be happy as well because he wants his hats and Joe's back, so he's got him supplied with all the hats and fun here. But it's going to be a fun show talking about some Lightning hockey. But first and foremost, before we get into all that fun stuff, guys, how you doing today?
Well, the Lightning are back, man. So I'm doing pretty well myself. You know, we had some shaky weeks, there for a little while. But going with a 7-1-2 in the last 10, feeling pretty good.
Oh, Matt, I don't know if you're muted. I can't hear you, bud. Oh, Matt, we lost Matt. Matt's doing so. We'll try to get him back here in just a second and get him back up. But,
I got a quick question here. Dan just put something in chat. Joe, are you drinking a coffee?
Are you drinking a coffee, Joe?
What? How'd you know I just made myself a coffee? That's...
He knows you too well. He knows you too well. Matt, are you back? Oh, still can't hear you, buddy. Unfortunately. All right. We'll get Matt back in here just for a moment. But we do have a couple of light news to talk about while Matt gets back in here, Joe. But the Lightning, you know, this has been the season of just bad luck when it comes to injuries for the Lightning. They cannot stay healthy at all. And of course, not a lot's been injuries. Right now, they got some bugs going around. Nikita Kucherov, he's been sick. He's missed a couple of games. Nick Paul missed one game. He did come back. And then, of course, you've had the news of Victor Hedman, who it was reported it was an illness initially, and then he's just been out on personal matters. Wish nothing but the best to Victor Hedman and whatever's going on that it may be. Hopefully he can be back with the team very soon. That's always a tough thing to hear, especially for your team's captain.
Yeah, I mean, for somebody that hasn't been having a very good season, he's obviously been going through some struggles. I'm glad that there, you know, is a path for him to be able to take a time off like this. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's not much more we can comment about it, but wish him the best.
Can you hear me now?
We can't hear you, Matt. You are back.
I'm glad to be back. I think it's because you started me off in the middle, and that's usually Joe's spot. So my whole mojo was thrown off. It was completely out of rhythm for me. So I'll blame it on that. I'll blame it on you, Jake, actually.
Still figuring out this new platform, man. It's a little bit strange. And if you guys remember from a couple weeks ago, yes, indeed, for me right now, Matt is still upside down.
It's only you two. It's keeping you on your toes. I like being upside down for you because it really makes you you don't get lost in my eyes quite as much.
Oh wow, well played there, Matt. So tough break for the Bolts right now when it comes to injuries and just health. They have not been able to stay healthy. They've had a lot of guys out of the lineup. The good news is, though, we kind of talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that the Lightning have been so good this year that they've had a lot of guys who have stepped up and kept this team going. And we saw a lot of that more this week from the Bolts. Let's jump right into it, guys, when it comes to our game recaps. Don't forget to everybody who's with us live, too, we want to hear your comments. Throw them down below. Throw them up on stream so we can talk about it, too. Join the conversation. And if you're watching this after it's already gone live, don't forget to follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning, so you do know when we go live. And you can join us and talk with us some Lightning hockey. Here with us live. All right, first game, though, we're going to talk about Bolts versus the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, the Minnesota Wild actually have been a team that has given the Lightning trouble over the recent years. It's more been in Minnesota that it's been a problem than in Tampa, but the Wild's still a team that have been pretty good when they play the Lightning. But the Bolts come through big in this one. They win it by a final score of 6-3. Wasn't looking good early, because how many times have we seen this before, guys? First period, disaster, not looking good. Lightning down 2-0. They do come back, though, and get the win against the Wild.
This week was just filled with slow starts. And, you know, with some of the guys coming out saying that they, you know, were sick, I think that's, you know, both Kucherov and Paul this week said that, you know, they missed games because of illness. I wonder how many guys were sick, but not too sick to be out of the lineup. I mean, because, you know, again, just some really slow starts this entire week. And, you know, having Zuccarello score 2 minutes and 30 seconds into the game, going down 2-0 in the first period for the Lightning, I thought, you know, especially after, you know, the last game against the Wild, that the Lightning were basically going to be done. And it's one of those tales of two teams. Like, in the later frames, a different team showed up completely.
I always feel a little bit better playing the Wild at home versus in St. Paul. The record there is real rough. But, yeah, the theme of the week is really just not getting off to good starts at all. You know, you had to climb out of a two-goal deficit. At least the team was resilient enough against a really good team in Minnesota to really, you know, get themselves back into the game. I knew some Wild fans were actually really disappointed at this game, because they said, we let them get back into the game. You know, we gave them every opportunity to with power plays, everything like that. They were really disappointed that they couldn't keep their foot on the gas. So it's just, I love the resiliency from the Lightning in this game, again, against a really good team, to just keep, you know, playing your game. Yeah, don't let the slow start really get to you too bad. Yeah, it was a couple shaky goals to start off, shaky first period in general. It took even, you know, into midway through the second for them to really find their footing. I'm not sure if it was that excellent fight between Nick Foligno and Scott Sabourin that really was the powder keg for, you know, setting this game off or whatever it was. And what a fight that was. It was a great fight. Corey Perry, you know, his fight was not maybe the best outing he's ever had. And, man, he's wearing that black eye hard. He looks like Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, getting your face cut like that by the visor, man. That's like – it's one of those things that I almost wish that the league would allow you to take your helmet off or something to prevent injuries to hands, prevent injuries to faces like that. Because it's – I mean, those things have no mercy when you start slamming into them with your face or your fist.
Way back when I went to, it was the 2018 Eastern Conference Finals run, I went to one of the games in the first round where Andre Schuster fought Miles Wood of the New Jersey Devils. And same thing, punch came through, cracked the visor, and it sliced Schuster's face. And there was a lot of blood. Everyone in the arena, like when they saw, you know, saw it up on the Jumbotron, it was just a collective, ugh. Like, it's gross and it is dangerous. I think you do got a good point, Joe. You know, let them, you know, take their helmets off again. That's how it used to be, a good old gentleman's fight. You might avoid some, you know, hand and facial injuries.
Yeah, that's the key, right? And Dan actually just put a comment in there that it's appropriate for this, where, you know, you're more worried about a cut or are you more worried about the you're hitting your head? But if the players are protecting each other to make sure that, you know, no one's slamming their head on the ice, then I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue, because they typically do that anyway, unless they get something really, really nasty. You know, they're not usually out to try to concuss or kill a guy. So I don't know. I mean, I'm all for allowing them, if they want, to take the helmet off as a gentleman's agreement. And then, you know, if there's other cases where they're fighting and their helmets are on, that's, you know, but to give the players the choice.
I forget who it was way back when. I think it was in the NHL or the AHL, but there was a fighter, a guy who used to take, you know, a knife and notch his helmet right around the front and the sides there. So whoever's hitting the helmet would just chew up their knuckles. I mean, it was a brutal, brutal thing to do.
That's just
dirty. maybe Sabourin should start doing that or something. But even still, the goalies, they're allowed to take their masks off. You know, Vasi and Swayman, when they went at it.
Can you imagine punching a goalie mask when you're trying to fight? That would not feel good at all.
It would be so very NHL of them to say, no, the goalies can't take their masks off either. You have to pop it off yourself, I guess.
Going back into this game, though, you know, they got that boost. It was really good to see Radish getting back into scoring again too, because that's something that, you know, during that post-Olympic break had a lot of struggles with. And you know, Radish has been really key for a power play, being able to not just score, but get those shots off and accurate, where it makes players have to respect the position and opens up everyone else as well. So seeing him get some assists, get some points in this game, I think is kind of a sign of things that end up coming later in the week too.
Just good to see, you know, for Radish again on the power play too, which, you know, power play has been a big subject for the Bolts all season long. It's been much better as of late, this goal coming on the power play, and that's been a big part for Radish, especially having to play on power play one with Victor Hedman being out for as long as he has been. I want to talk about, though, a goal from a different defenseman, and that's Eric Chernak, who scores probably one of the most interesting goals that we've had in this season. This has been a tight game, and in the third period, Eric Chernak gets one where the puck just gets misplayed by the Minnesota goaltender, and he walks in and slaps it home. In fact, he shot it so hard that nobody really knew that it even went in. I thought it was in. Chernak knew that it was in, but the ref actually waved it off for the moment. Still don't know how that happened. I mean, it was just sitting right there. It went right in the net. But how about that for Eric Chernak to get a goal? And the Lightning, you know, they get a lucky bounce, but you know what they say? You got to be good to be lucky. And they started playing much, much better. You start to get some of those bounces. Just good to see, though, that they do get one. There's been a lot of games where they haven't had those types of bounces.
You know, that was Tuesday night. I had a game on Thursday night where my team was down by one goal with like 2.5 minutes left in the game. I think we pulled at that point. And one of my guys with a right-handed shot was on the left side of the net. And he absolutely, like, the rebound came over to him. He absolutely sniped it. It hit the back bar, and it makes a very different sound when it hits the back bar. It's a deadened sort of, like, it's a little pingy, but it's more of a thud, and came right back out the other side. It was in and out so fast the refs didn't see it. They waved it off. We were celebrating and then in disbelief how he didn't see it. We didn't pay attention, you know, didn't play till the whistle. They got a breakaway the other way and scored to put them up by two. So it happens in all the leagues, man. At least they get the option of review in with the NHL. There's something called Live Barn that allows you to watch videos at certain hockey rinks around, you know, for rec league hockey. And Live Barn conclusively shows it goes in, but there's no review in men's league.
There's nothing you can do. Like, you know, I feel like there should be some sportsmanship with like the other team. Be like, yeah, it did go in. Like, it is beer league.
A tying, I guess, goal with, you know, though, that
it's beer league. Like, it's not. I don't know. Like, I know I probably wouldn't. I'd be like, oh no, that hit the post and went out. Like, it didn't go in. But I don't know. I figured there'd be some level of sportsmanship or some level of, come on, man. Like, everyone knows it went in. But oh well.
Well, I mean, same thing for this. You know, it was in and out so fast, it almost looked like a save.
At least with, you know, the case of NHL goal scoring, you know, it's happened a lot where the, you know, you score, the ref doesn't see it, or other people on the team don't see it. And the goal scorer always knows. I always trust their celebrations. It's more often than not, if, you know, they think it went in, they're celebrating like it went in, and then everybody else keeps playing, the ref doesn't blow the whistle or do the goal signal. I always do trust the goal scorer. It's 9 times out of 10. If they're celebrating like it went in, it probably went in.
And you know what? I'll give a little bit of credit to the ref too, because hitting that camera is probably a very strange sound that he heard when it hit, that probably sounded more like a paddle than hitting a bar. So, you know, at least they got the call right in the end, and that was a big goal for the team to really start to get take the game away.
Well, that was the dagger. Like, yeah, what a fortunate series of events for the Lightning. In that case, it always seems like that's the kind of stuff going in against us, and it couldn't have came at a more costly time too. Wasn't that the game winner technically? Yeah, just what a dagger. But again, just the resiliency in this game from this team. The slow starts, yeah, you don't really love it, but just the ability to claw back and just, you know, you know, get back into these games, even if you do have to take, you know, some unfortunate bounces against the other team. You'd love to see it. And you love to see Chernak, you know, get an easy one too.
Yeah, you got gifted one. I'm looking at the stats right now on the NHL's webpage. I've never seen it before, but for Holmberg's goal, if you guys remember, Holmberg basically got pulled down with the empty net. It's listed as AWD, EN. So I'm guessing an awarded goal, empty net. I've never actually seen it printed anywhere before.
Yeah, I was looking at that too, and I was like, what does all-wheel drive have to do with this? Like, I was really curious, and I was like, oh, that's right. It was an awarded goal. So it was my first time seeing it too.
All-wheel drive. That's great.
I got the traction pull out in front.
Even the goal visualizer is weird, right? If you watch that, the puck just kind of goes off to the right and it doesn't tell you anything because it wasn't awarded this. And you can't see that the player got pulled down. By the way, I have to mention this. I did notice they also added ads in the goal visualizer on the ice, which is driving me nuts every time I look at it now. Ads, man, they're everywhere. Even the Rays now, they've got their ads on their jerseys. So, man, you know, it's a part of life now. Couple of comments I do want to get to. Beverly was asking this to you, Joe, saying mental fatigue. What do you think? I'm not 100% sure that was in reference.
Yeah, sorry. I meant to type back into chat with you, Beverly, there. What are you referring to specifically? Was that before when we were talking about the skid after the break, or at which point?
Let us know. I'll get it back up here, and we'll be sure to talk about it. I want to bring up this comment from Dan, because Matt, you mentioned, you know, you trust the guys on the ice when they're celebrating, right? They usually know what it is, and you're 100% right. I think it's Brian who says that all the time on the broadcast, like, oh, the guys know that he's celebrating. That's usually the one they know. And he's right. Unless, who is it? They've done it like twice now. Brandon Hagel, who's put the puck in. Like, what was the one who picked up the puck out of the pad and put it in the goal? Was that Hagel? I believe it was Hagel.
It sounds right. I believe it. But
point. I'm pretty sure it was Hagel. But so you can't always. And Daniel said this, saying, "Cheating, you ain't trying." Seen plenty of guys fake the silly and not score. It's happened once or twice. But you're right, Matt. For the most part, you can usually trust those guys. So, Ethan asked if we can pause. He has to go use the restroom. No, Ethan, we can't pause right now. Don't just go quick, and then we'll be right back to it. All right, let's go to our next game here. Lightning win it 6-3 over the Minnesota Wild, and then taking on the Seattle Kraken, a team that the Lightning have dominated. Plain and simple, they coming into this game only lost to them once, and that was in overtime, so no regulation losses against the Seattle Kraken. And that would continue, but it was a loss for the Bolts as the Kraken win this one 4-3 in overtime. And another case of a bad start for the Bolts. Now, this one wasn't as bad. When you look at it compared to Minnesota, they only go down 1-0, and they do eventually score to tie the game in the first period, but just a rough start. They eventually go down 3-1 by the second period, and again claw their way back to eventually get it into overtime on a big goal from Corey Perry on the power play. But you can't start like this every single time, because there's going to be times where you're just not going to be able to come all the way back and win it. And especially come playoff time, when these teams are all playing in these super meaningful games and you're not playing any, Seattle's not a bottom feeder team. They're in the playoff hunt right now, but you're playing in these playoff games against these good teams. You're going to lose some of these games. And this one ultimately comes back to bite them. They do get the point out of it, which is always nice, but those bad starts killing the Bolts.
I was going to say that it's almost like a continuation of, you know, right after the break, except for now they're finding that second gear, their all-wheel drive, if you will, to get some traction into the game and come and claw these games back. But, two out of three, playing two out of three periods ain't too bad either.
And this game, it was a really big struggle. The Lightning couldn't really deal with Seattle's speed. They were coming off the rush really, really good, it seemed like, every time. Maybe not a lot of offensive zone time for them, but every time they were coming in off the rush, it seemed like they were odd man rushes, really bad line change for the Lightning. Like, I will admit, yeah, Seattle, the better team, did get to win this game. Again, love, I'm using this word a lot, but resiliency to claw your way back into this game. And it was some shoddy reffing, in my opinion. I wasn't a huge fan of some of the things that were called, some of the things that were not called. You can't really go ahead. You can't blame a loss on that. I will, but I'm not going to. No, it was just a really tough game. And again, you know, Seattle, you played them last week. Obviously, they're going to do their homework and learn how to adjust. They've got a pretty decent coach in pretty decent coach, and I can't remember his name, but obviously, if you play a team that recently, they're going to make adjustments, and they're going to fight for their playoff lives. So it seemed like the Lightning were maybe had a case of, we should beat this team and maybe not put in 100% effort all the time. But again, what a goal from Corey Perry on the power play. I mean, it wasn't amazing, but man, it felt like such a relief. The overtime period, that one was a bit of a bummer. It seemed like that was the one that you really should have won, but a lot of people are upset about Brandon Hagel in that overtime. Anybody seen any of those comments? They say he was, you know, going back to get his stick instead of going to, go in and play defense.
You lost me at people should be are upset with Brandon Hagel.
I didn't say I am. There. But a lot of people, they not are, but were upset with Hagel. They said he should have just gone back without a stick. I'm not sure how you feel about that. Joe, do you have an opinion?
It's the far change. It's not like he's got the bench right there where he can be handed one. You're going to leave, a 50% manpower advantage on the ice. You know, it's against your team because you're, you know, going from 3-on-3 to 3-on-2. They've got 50% more people on the ice than you do. I don't like it. I'd rather him just play, you know, box out the middle. I can understand what he was thinking, but I don't like the play at all. I think you try your best to clear the puck, ice it, get Vasi to get a stoppage. It's way, especially since you don't have possession, it's way less of an opportunity with the extra body there than the 20 seconds round trip that it takes. And we know how fast overtimes get won. The whole fact that he wasn't there is the reason why the play was made, because there's no one to protect the shot and the back door at the same time. Vasi got fooled because it was a look off. It's a really strange release the way that he twisted his wrists over. So it doesn't even look like a shot. He's basically just kind of flinging it with, by turning his wrists over. And I think the reason that happens is because there's not a body there. At least if you had Hagel man on with him pushing him, he's not gonna get that shot off like that. So that's my two cents.
Classic Daniel disagreeing with you. I don't know if you can pull that up and saying, you know, maybe Vasi makes the save and it's a breakaway to Hagel with a brand new stick. You know, could be an entirely maybe different game.
Shoots it all the way down and it slides in the net on its own.
I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that his stick broke even in the first place and you end up in that situation, because it is a tough. I think also if you watch the replay, I think Hagel does hesitate a little bit, and hesitating always makes it worse. You have to just go for it at some point, and he did, which in this, you know, in hindsight, was it the wrong decision? Probably, but, you know, these things happen. I mean, remember, what was it, a couple of years ago when Stamkos, every time in overtime, he would fall on the ice and there would be an odd man rush the other way. Like, these things happen sometime. They're unfortunate, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
No, they shouldn't happen. That's the whole thing. They shouldn't happen. I mean, with Stamkos, you would think that he would have learned the lesson that when you're the defensive player that's the last guy back, you can't make a play like that. You can't fall down. You can't get beat. You have to play more defensively responsible. And I think this is another one of those cases too, where if he was flying by the bench on a back check or something, yeah, grab a stick, make an extra little detour, but to flee the zone completely, I don't know.
I have to imagine too, the coaching talked about it after, and they probably said, all right, yeah, let's not do that again. And they would fix it. This was the one. Well, if it happens again, completely another story, but
Hagel has earned enough goodwill on this team that it really is such a non-issue. And overtime in and of itself is such a non-issue, 3-on-3 overtime. Like, I love it. I think it's fun. You know, it's got its issues, but it's kitschy. You know, it's just kind of, you know, speed up the game, get a winner type of deal. It doesn't exist in the playoffs where these games truly really do matter. So it shouldn't be an issue that we will see for a long, long time.
I do want to talk about, too, Jake Guentzel in this game scoring a breakaway goal. And, boy, does it feel like that guy knows how to score on the breakaway. He's done it in shootouts. He's done it on breakaways. He is the opposite of Matthew Joseph, who could never score on a breakaway. But every time Guentzel gets the puck and gets in all alone, I'm almost expecting a goal at this point. He is insanely good with his shot and what he's able to do when he's one-on-one with the goaltender. It's a lot of fun to watch. A shout out to Jake Guentzel, who has just been unbelievable for the Bolts ever since he's joined the team.
And who got the shootout winner in the stadium series? That'd be Jake Guentzel to you.
Guentzel.
No, he just unlimited on the breakaway. If he's not, you know, in your top three in the shootout rotation, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, it's been a joy to watch him, especially taking off there on those breakaways. Looking at the comments here real quick, too. Lisa agrees. Gens is the best. 100%. He's been fantastic. All right, let's get to the next game here for the Bolts. You know, they lose that one in overtime. Point Street does get to move on. They got set to take on the Ottawa Senators. This game at 1 o'clock. That's dreaded noon start, which has always been weird for the Bolts in many a times when they're having those matinee games. It was Kids Day, which I believe is the why this game was at 1 o'clock. They tend to do those games early for this kind of stuff, but the Lightning sure didn't wake up right away. They got off to another rough start, as we've been talking about all week here. They go down 2-0 to the Senators, and it looked pretty bad after that first period, because I believe this was the game too. Shots on goal were not great either. This was 11-8. It was the other game, but still not a great start for the Bolts in that first period. They were struggling, but they come back this time and they are able to eventually pull away from the Ottawa Senators. They win it by a final score of 4-2 and get another big 2 points.
Average Lightning Senators noon game. I mean, yeah, you get off to a pretty rough start. Average, you know, game for this week, getting off to a terrible start. What did they score with, you know, 12 seconds into the game, something like that? I sent it in the
18
seconds. I sent it in the chat, the clip of Phil Esposito right as they score, just goes, what? I think that was, you know, all of our reactions. Like, it was kind of a nothing burger shy and just a quick spin around and gets through Vazzy. Might have not been expecting that. I think there might have been a self-screen as well. But, yeah, and then another game where just Otto was attacking with speed and Lightning weren't really, at least in the first half of the game, were not really able to cope with, you know, their speed and the odd man rushes very, very well. Again, like the rest of the games, you're able to claw your way back into it and really take some of that momentum and able to, you know, finish the game out like that. But, man, these rough starts is just, you know, keeps compounding. You're not going to be able to do this every single time, every single game.
You know, this was one that I ended up having a conversation, I think it was just with Dan, about the defensive pairings and what it would look like. This was before the Hedman announcement, what it would look like having Lilleberg and Stu, you know, coming back, and how you would keep people together and having them together is a liability. And I thought it somewhat would be, because I'd rather them kind of rotate out of the first and second pairings to eat up minutes rather than put the two of them out there at the exact same time as a third line, if that makes sense. You know, so like rotate one in with Hedman or McDonough. I know that Moser was playing with Destu a bit there for a minute. So I was wrong. I mean, Destu had an amazing game in this one, and even, you know, bigger. Lilleberg's, you know, been a big fan of him. He started, you know, coming back after his injury, and he still was playing well defensively, but he's starting to get a lot more opportunities now and, like, feeling more comfortable in his game. The goal that he scored for the game-winning goal was a really awesome play, and it's extremely difficult to actually get that shot off. Him jumping up on the rush and being able to contribute in that way is really big for being able to create odd man opportunities. So, I mean, I thought those two guys played outstanding.
Oh, they absolutely did. When he scored that, I don't know if you call it a breakaway goal, but, you know, he was in alone there, real tight with the goalie. I thought it was Hagel that might have scored it. You know, I saw a lefty and a number ending in an eight. I was like, oh, that was Hagel. But, no, he gave him the puck. And, man, Hagel also had an amazing game this game, too. No Kucherov in this game. You know, he was dealing with an illness. I think you guys might have gotten to that when I was absent trying to figure out my mic settings. But Hagel was flying all around this game. And it was just, a slow first period. And, yeah, that pairing with Dastu and Lilleberg really did shock me. Because, you know, you got two kind of polar opposite players. Dastu, you know, a lot more offensive puck moving, great goal scorer. Did he get a goal in this game or was that in the other game? Whatever it was.
This was in this one.
Okay, yeah. No, that was an excellent pairing this game. Hopefully they can keep it up, but I really do like those two players. And, yeah, it is worth having the conversation of what do these pairs look like when Victor Hedman comes back. I don't think you want to separate the Chernak-McDonough pairing. That one is kind of as old as time now, it seems. Even if it may have a couple little flaws, that one's pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, but in this one, you know, Lilleberg had 3 points. It was a plus four. So having them out there, you know, if they can contribute in that way is, you know, makes for a lot better all around, you know, for other pairings too. So it's a great problem to have for all the Lilleberg early haters that, you know, hopefully gives them more stuff to see that this kid's good.
A couple of comments I do want to get to here. I was seen in the chat. Oh, I just lost my place. Sorry. There we go. Lisa's saying that I'm so proud of Saturday's game. They pulled it together. They absolutely did. And that's been the one nice thing, right? Even with these bad starts that they've had in these games, they have gotten their game together and gotten back on track. And we talked about earlier that it's something that's not going to happen in every single game, especially in the postseason, but it is nice that they can show that they can play extremely well, and they did that in this game. I did want to pull this comment up too, since Kucherov was not in this game. Daniel mentioning this might be the first week in a while where it makes sense to leave Kucherov off the three stars. That's the only way you can do it, is by him not playing in a couple of games. But other guys really did step up for the Bullets. You guys talked about Lilleberg. And Lisa reminding us with the cage, nonetheless, too, the full cage mask on and out there jumping up on plays and scoring goals. Great stuff from Emil Lilleberg.
Everyone talks about Connor Bedard when he was playing with the full bubble. Man, we need to start talking about cage Lilleberg. That might be a different animal entirely.
You're right, Matt. It might be. I think I saw some people saying like, oh, you got to keep the cage now and keep rolling with it. Comment here from Daniel again saying, is it too early to start thinking about the best possible first round matchups for the Bolts? I'm going to say yes. Yes, it is.
No.
For me, it's get in. Worry about your own thing. Get in, put yourself in the best spot. You play who you play. I don't like looking at the matchups, and you're going to have to play. You're going to play. You're going to play your best hockey no matter what. So I'm not big on looking at the matchups. You only control what you can control.
I don't think it's too early to talk about it. You remember a couple of years ago, we were talking about it in December. Like, we knew we were going to play the Leafs. Like, it was just for months on end. It was like, okay, yep, these two are going to play each other. But it is a really interesting scenario in the East right now and in the West. But given the wild card and everything like that, I'd probably rather be, you know, second in the division than play any of these wild card teams, because – you know, you're historically pretty good against Montreal, and don't let history, you know, fool you, but they're third in the division right now. That's who you'd be paired up with. But some of the wild card teams are teams that are surging. You know, you've got the Columbus Blue Jackets, who I think are in a divisional spot right now. You've got the Ottawa Senators, who, again, it's always
wild card spot right now.
It's always chaos playing Ottawa. You know, there's who else is surging right now? Detroit. I like our odds against them, but it's a really interesting
yeah,
time.
So for that final wild card spot, there's the separated by 2 points. There's the Flyers, the Red Wings, the Senators, the Blue Jackets, and the Penguins. If you want to add an additional point in there, you've got the Islanders too. So who knows? Like, there's so many teams I could slot into that spot, and we've got so many games left that it's, you know, it's still definitely up in the air by a lot.
Do you want to guess who the Lightning will be playing if the playoffs started today?
Is it Montreal? Oh, wait. No, it would be the Sens, right?
It would not be the Sens.
Columbus?
It would be the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I don't want it. I don't want that at all.
I love it. I love it.
Don't want
the rematch. Take that and you know, and throw it right back. Give them the 4-game sweep. And
do you know how many replays we would have to sit through at the start of that series? Oh, the last time these two teams matched up, remember this? Oh man,
the last time they matched up, we won the series in 5. So
I wanted to point out one thing real quick since I got the stats pulled up here. There's only one team that is eliminated in the East. It's the New York Rangers. They've got 30 wins, 35 losses. They are the only team in the East that is not at 500 or above.
Wow. It's been a bloodbath this year. The Atlantic is the hardest division to play in, bar none.
If I'm not mistaken, Toronto is on the chopping block today with their game against the Ducks. If they lose, I believe they will be eliminated as well, if I'm not mistaken. So, and then Florida can't be too far behind that because they're at 73 points versus Toronto 75. A couple of –
Florida's vying for a draft pick right now.
They are indeed. They've had a rough go of it as
most
of
late. Unethical tank I've ever seen.
A couple more comments, too, that we need to get to here. Cynthia asking, what's with Cernak and all the penalties? He has been taking a lot as of late. And the big one, obviously, being that 10-minute misconduct that he got after he shoved a referee. It's
verbal.
I'm pretty sure it was because if you watch the one.
If he put hands on the ref, he gets tossed.
He gets suspended.
Which is why you got the 10-minute misconduct, I'm pretty sure.
Right, but I think it was a verbal thing. They didn't nail him for touching a ref because you get it's way bigger of a.
Well, you can see right at the end, he kind of like gave him a little bit of a. It wasn't.
Yeah, he may have, but that's not what they. I don't think that's what they called him for. Luckily.
Bottom line is, and Cooper said this to the referee. I forget exactly what his quote was that he said back to the referee on the bench, but. Everybody's kind of getting a little bit soft these days. I don't know what Cernak said, but
the quote is, "What is happening in this league? Why does everyone have feelings?" Which is honestly such a hilarious quote to me. Great
quote. Ethan heard the commentary himself. He heard it.
Mm.
He called the ref ugly and stinky. Honestly, I would believe it the way these refs have been. Listen, I get it. You're an official. You don't want to sit there and get abused. You get yelled at all game long. You hear it from the fans. But also, at the same time, come on. This is hockey. This is sports. These guys are going to yell back and forth at each other. You should hear the things that these guys call each other out there on the ice.
Some of the things that they say to the refs on a regular basis, too, is some pretty heinous foul stuff. No, nothing like – you know, crazy, but you know, they're saying swears and, you know, saying, you know, are you blind? What was that call? This, that, and the other, like it's gotta be something, you know, semi decent, you know, toe in the line to get a 10 after that. So,
or he kept pushing. The refs have no problem communicating with players. One more time, you got a penalty. Mm-hmm. And he did one more time. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the most egregious words that broke the camel's back, but, it was, you know, he probably got warned and then, you know, or the whole team got warned. And then, you know, that was enough to get him. I'm looking at his penalty minutes right now, though. Like, yeah, he got that 10 and a 2, which, you know, 12 for that game. But actually, Cernak's been playing decently clean. On March 8th, there's 9 minutes. So that must have been a fighting and probably an instigator attached to that. But, oh, Dan just put something but really he's been fairly clean, I think, the past few weeks.
You must be getting him confused with Jake Guentzel taking 2 penalties in the Nashville game. Dirty player he is.
People calling him dirty in the Nashville game?
No, I'm just playing around. But I think he had 2 penalties, like 2 like trippings or something.
I will say this week, in these 4 games played, Eric Cernak has had 16 penalty minutes. Of course, big part of that is the 10. So I think it's just more as of late, Cernak has been taking a couple of penalties. The Lettinger also just to penalize. What's that?
Don't look at the numbers like that. It's 3 penalties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, he got the extra 10. He got the extra 10, but that doesn't affect the team.
Yeah.
As a defenseman? I don't know.
Look at Joe sticking up for Eric Chernak. This is wild.
Well, you know, Chernak doesn't get to play that many games either. So, you know, the penalties that he does take are feel like a big deal. he has taken a little bit of penalties, but you're right, Joe. It hasn't been too bad. All right, let's get back on track here. So Bolts get the win over the Ottawa Senators by a final score of 4-2. By the way, another Jake Guentzel breakaway goal in this game at the end. And then they would take on the Nashville Predators with Stamkos returning back to Tampa Bay once again. Not as big of a deal this time around since he's already been back once, but always good to have the captain back in Tampa Bay. And there actually was a small tribute for Perbix, who I completely forgot about, to be honest with you, returning to Tampa Bay since he went to the Nashville Predators. So some familiar faces back in Tampa. And the Lightning win this one by a final score of 3-2. Pretty close game all the way up until the end, until Corey Perry, again, scoring a big goal late in the game, even though he looked like he got hit by a truck this week. He is still out there on the ice fighting for every minute. What an acquisition he has been. You know, I wasn't thrilled with the trade deadline. I still think the Lightning could have done more. But at the very least, Corey Perry has been awesome since joining the team.
He's helped give the league an interesting stat of most goals scored in a single season by players over 40 years old. I think this is the third highest scoring year for players over 40 with like 54 goals or something. So he's having a really good year. He's, you know, averaging almost a or half a point per game, doing this at, you know, almost 41 years old in May is crazy. And the goal came exactly from where you would expect it, exactly how you would expect it. Chaos in front of the net. He's there for a tap in, just greasy, greasy goal. And it was just an interesting game all around. Real sloppy, Joe. You look like you got something you want to say.
Oh, I'm just messing around with the people in chat.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, also the fact that Hedy's down now, having a leader in Corey Perry back is one of those things that can't be undervalued. Yeah, yeah. Talking about me bad-mouthing refs and, you know it happens, you know. You get frustrated, especially when you get whacked. And they don't see it, and then they get, you know, so you have to get some on-ice justice, and you're the one that gets penalized, which, you know, definitely happens too, and that's all.
Speaking of on-ice justice, was this not the game, too, where Corey Perry got hit from behind and then scored on the – or was that a different game? I can't remember.
I think it was that because it was on that – that was the power play, right?
I thought that was the Seattle one. No, that was the Seattle game. Where you got the power play goal to tie it up, yeah.
Okay, Corey Perry scored so many goals this week, I can't keep track of them all. but nonetheless, big goal for Corey Perry at the end. And Brandon Hagel again getting on the score sheet. Jake Guentzel again on the score. A lot of familiar faces this week, which I guess can kind of happen when you have your top scorer, Nikita Kucherov, out for the last two games of this week, and the Lightning's still able to put up some pretty good offense. By the way, how about the response? You know, the Hagel scores that goal in the third period to go up 2-1. And then Nashville immediately responds. That had to be one of the biggest, you know, life getting sucked out of you for the moment after Nashville responded and scored that goal. But credit to the Bolts. They did not let it get to them. They fought right back and then eventually got that goal from Perry to win the game. So, you know, overall, some frustrating stuff when it came to start of games. They were not starting well, but the Bolts continue a point streak. They keep on winning. They're sitting at first place right now in the entire conference. Granted, they're tied with both Carolina and Buffalo. They have the tiebreaker over both those teams, and they have a game in hand as well. But to be back at the top of the conference, great stuff from the Lightning. That they certainly can play some really, really good hockey.
Real quick, you said, you know, credit to the Bolts for, you know, sticking this one out. Credit to JoJo. He actually had a really, really good game. The two goals that go in against him are both kind of fluky, you know, especially that second one, that like double or triple deflection. He had a really good game. So with how hard I and the rest of Bolts Nation have been on him as of late, he finally had a positive goal saved above expected percentage for the first time in a while. So what a good game from him. He honestly could have escaped that game with a shutout if, you know, two things went differently.
And to, you know, further piggyback on that comment, the fact that the Lightning were outshot 10-1 in that first period, mm-hmm. if JoJo would have let in a goal with that sort of momentum happening, it definitely could have been a completely different game where the Lightning would once again be down early and struggle to get back into it.
Yeah, Jonas Johansson was fantastic in this game. No way around it. And good for him, especially with, as you said, Matt, some of the backlash that he's been getting. It's a tough job. I get it. You know, they were talking about a lot of it on the broadcast too. I mean, he's played what, like 3 games over the last 4 months or something like that. Like it's crazy how little he plays. And you got to sit with those tough games for a while sometimes. But he's able to get into this one, play a really nice game. The Bolts do get the win for him as well. Just want to throw this comment up here too quick from Cynthia saying it's great having Corey Perry back. By the way, speaking of Corey Perry, did you guys know, I don't know if this stat currently still holds true. I have to look, but somebody put out that the last 10 Stanley Cup winners all had something in common where it was for their power play, their penalty kill, their goal differential all had to be.
I think we covered that last week. I'm pretty sure. I don't think we ever got to it.
No, I don't think I forgot to mention it. I said I was and I didn't. But all those categories, you have to be in the top 10. At least that's what it was for the last couple of Stanley Cup winners. At the time of that tweet, only one team qualified to be in the top 10 for all those categories. That was the Tampa Bay Lightning. And that got a lot of comments going because, you know, the Lightning, okay, they're the one team that could win the cup here. But they also have Corey Perry, who has not been able to win a Stanley Cup for what, the last 6 years is now it's been. So which one's gonna go, the Corey Perry curse or the history of the Lightning and the Stanley Cup winners having such great statistics as a team?
Well, you said over the last 10 years that was true.
I'm gonna pull it up. I think I have it here, but I can't quite remember what it was. Hang on one second.
For the sake of my argument, I'll say that for the last 10 years, all those stats are true, and if they're still true, attributed to the Lightning, 10 years is a lot longer than how many times has Perry lost in the finals, 5 or 6 times. So I'm going to go with the
– Here's the stat. The last 10 Stanley Cup winners, 9 out of 10 were top 10 in 5v5 goals for percentage. 8 out of 10 were top 12 in 5v5 goals expected percentage. 10 out of 10 were top 12 in 5v5 save percentage. 9 out of 10 were top 12 in power play plus penalty kill percentage. And 9 out of 10 were top half in power play percentage. And right now, one team checks all 5, and that was the Tampa Bay Lightning. Again, that was on the 23rd, so stats have changed from that point. Also, they have been without Nikita Kucherov, so the power play has struggled too. But they were the one team that checked all those boxes. So interesting little stat.
I'm going with that's going to continue. The Corey Perry curse, and it's not a curse. He won a Stanley Cup before, so it's just very unfortunate.
I think you're looking at it wrong. It's not a Corey Perry curse. He helps get the guys to the Stanley Cup Finals. That's what it is. He's appeared in the Stanley Cup Finals. Win, lose, or draw, I don't think that you tag that to him because he did win a cup before. Mm-hmm. I think you just give him the line of he went to the Stanley Cup Finals, and we'll take care of the rest.
Let's get to these two comments here too as well before we get to our 3 stars of the week. Daniel said, anyone concerned about the slow starts and lack of shots heading into the playoffs? Now, Beverly followed it up with this, saying, Coop said fatigue, mental, physical, or both. Or did you say Coop said fatigue? I think he said, I do remember him mentioning that. The slow starts are definitely a concern. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, knowing the Lightning – how many times have they done this where they've had some weeks going into the playoffs where you're like, this team doesn't look that good. And then they're able to just flip that switch somehow, some way once they get into the postseason. And the fact that I've seen this team play as good as that they have makes me so much less concerned or almost numb to it, I guess you could say. Now, will they be able to do it and execute that? Time will only tell. But I'm for me, at least, I don't think I'm overly concerned about it.
And the only 2 losses in the last 2 weeks have been in kitschy 3-on-3 overtime. So they've got the ability to get themselves back into the game. And, you know, I think a slow start is a lot. it's a lot easier to fix than many other issues other teams are facing right now too. So I think it's a bit of a, it's an issue, but I don't think it's going to be a recurring issue.
Yeah. I think you worded it pretty well, Jake, with it where you get kind of numb to it. Cause this team knows better than most how to really turn it on come playoffs. And, as long as they continue to grind out wins, I'm more concerned with the team being able to come back from deficits, because that takes a lot of mental fortitude, I think, more so than getting out to a hot start. It's being able to grind out the games, because we've said a lot of times how, you know, I think early in the season, very early in the season, how they had trouble finishing games. They play two good periods, not be able to close it out. I'd rather them play good for the, you know, middle and end, you know, and third periods than get off to a hot start in the beginning. But, you know, nine games left, they're still looking pretty good where they can do it in all situations.
Yeah, no question. And these nine games will tell a lot as they get ready to ramp up for playoff time. And there's a lot of questions to be answered to on who we're going to play, but we will know before you know it. All right, let's get to our three stars of the week. I think there's a lot of guys that could have been put on this list once again, because, again, that's how deep that this team has been and impressive that they've been. But let's start with the number three star of the week. Maybe a little bit surprised for some people, but, hey, he had a really good game, scored a really big goal, so why not throw him up there? It's Emil Lilleberg who gets the third star of the week, guys.
I'm just saying, over the last two games, Lilleberg 4 points, Kucherov none. So, I mean, who's the real heart winner? No, we covered a lot of it earlier, but yeah, good to see him really stepping up into a good role. You know, maybe it's a flash in the pan, maybe the offense won't stick or something, but as far as this week goes, getting a game-winning goal and getting a game-winning assist as well, it's got to feel really, really good for him. So I'm glad to see him stepping up and taking a new route in his game.
Yeah, and judging by the minutes that he's getting a lot more responsibilities too. He had 19 minutes in the Minnesota game and almost 19 minutes again in Seattle. Ottawa, he only had he had less than 15 minutes, but he put up a goal, two assists, and was a plus four. So, you know, he had enough time on the ice to contribute to the team. And then again, in this past game with Nashville, he's at 17 and a half minutes. So it's not like the, you know, 11 minute, 12 minute mark where you're, you know, not getting that much ice time overall. So it's the additional responsibilities, and he's looking good. There was that kind of like flubber that happened, you know, the week before where it's just like the puck bounced all crazy on him.
It's not his fault.
And yeah, it was just a fluky thing. So that's about the only real one where, you know, you look at and, you know, you could almost point a finger, but, you know, was it Lisa that was talking about the cage? The way that cup sits right on your chin, when you look down, you kind of can lose stuff in your feet. You know, he comes out with a half shield next time. That even that'll get improved. So he's having a fantastic week.
And don't forget, who's the one that laid out McDavid last week? That was Emil Lilleberg as well. So this goes back 2 weeks now for this star.
So Lilleberg gets on this list. Well-deserved third star of the week. Number two star, this one is going to go to Jake. Always scores on the breakaway. Gensel, who was fantastic, scoring on those breakaways. Gensel led the way for the Bolts this week in four games played. He had four goals, four assists for a total of 8 points, and was a plus three. Jake Gensel, the number two star of the week.
Dude, just how clutch has he been? How freaking clutch has he been? I got nothing more to comment than that, because he just shows up when you need him most, and he starts to turn games around.
He's kind of turning into the new Braden Point, not the way they play at all, but just how clutch he's been. You know, I can imagine, you know, huge playoffs coming for him. He's a playoff player kind of guy as well. I think he was like one of the only guys I would say had a good playoffs last year against the Panthers too. So don't mean to get ahead of myself here. You know, let's focus on the week that he did have, but he helped me get to the championship in my fantasy hockey league. What a good pick that was for me, man. He's just clutch as can be on, you know, the real ice and the fantasy ice as well. And, man, we'll move past that. But that breakaway he had in the Nashville game with the guy all over him, in him, just doing everything he can to just strip that puck away and still just strong enough with his hands and on his feet. getting that goal past who was it, Eustace Onanen. Man, what a goal that was. I was screaming for that one. And
that's another one of those plays that is extremely difficult to do, especially at speed. You got a guy harassing you from the side catching. You have to maintain control, make sure the guy doesn't get you in the hands so you can actually get a shot off, and it's got to be able to beat a goalie. That is extremely difficult what he did, and he's just so good at it.
And I would like to make a new rule in the NHL where, kind of like basketball, like if you get the shot off and time expires with the puck or the ball in the air, you know, it still counts. I think Jake's empty net goal should have counted in the Nashville game, but unfortunately, you know, it was half a second or a whole second too late, which was a bummer. That would have really helped inflate his stats this week, but maybe I'll vie for that next Board of Governors meeting.
Came to the Board of Governors meeting. Yeah, great stuff from Jake Guentzel, as always. He has just been such a fantastic acquisition for the Bolts. By the way, Matt, Lisa, it was nice enough to say congrats, Matt.
Thank you, Lisa. Don't worry. The last 4 years, I've made it to the championship and lost four straight times. So,
Ethan wasn't as nice. He said, don't congrats him. He doesn't deserve it.
Yo, how's fourth place feel?
A friendly competition there. All right, it's time for the number one star of the week. Daniel thinks he's got it. He says he thinks Perry is going to be the first star. Well, I hate to break it to you, but it is not Corey Perry who is the first star of the week. I think he does deserve an honorable mention for sure, though. A lot of clutch goals this week. He was fantastic, no question about it. But the first star is going to the future captain, and I've said maybe the best acquisition in Lightning history. I'm ready to say it now. He's the best acquisition in Lightning history, if none other than Brandon Hagel. Fantastic stuff from him, as always. Hagel, 3 goals, 3 assists for 6 points, and was a +3. He earns the number one star of the week.
It's a big deal when Kucherov goes down. You need someone to step up, and this week, that's exactly what he did. He looked like the player that was flying all over the ice and controlling the games. And I think even though the points aren't as high as Guentzel, the play that Hagel had and what he showed on the ice, he was the most impactful player on the team this past week.
Bar none. Yeah, he was everywhere in every single game, just passion, leadership, and everything you can ask for. Great defensive play, great penalty killing, especially in the Nashville game, too. It seemed like he had a couple of really good chances. He could have had 4 or 5 more goals if, you know, pucks just went an inch one way or another. He was doing everything, and you said it best, you know, he stepped up. He always performs when everybody's healthy in a regular situation, but this week with Kucherov out, undoubtedly the best player on the ice throughout pretty much every single game. Very well-deserved star, and just another recurring usual suspect on this list.
And I do want to say, yeah, absolutely an honorable mention for Perry. He was outstanding. Same thing with Dastu. This was fortunately like a good week for guys coming out. And, you know, it's as the season starts to wind down here towards the end, it's great to see, especially guys like Corey Perry and Dastu, who aren't expected to be your number ones or like the star of the team, putting in those major contributions.
Even guys like Yanni Gourde, I don't know if he had any points this week, but he was just somebody that was gritty and just terrible to play against this week. You know, just plenty of guys. You started the segment off with it, Jake. Plenty of guys have a case to make it, and everyone's playing very, very well right now after the first period.
Yanni Gourde did have 1 point, by the way. He had an assist. Ooh, okay. So Yanni Gourde does get 1 point. Beverly, all in on the first star, by the way, for Hagel. So, and also saying, too, this 100% agree with this. Perry and Hagel have led the team for these last few games. They have. It's really nice to see those guys stepping up when it comes to that leadership side of things. Yeah, season may be winding down, but don't forget, you guys can also head over to shop.rblrsports.com and use promo code BOLTS to get 10% off of your order. Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Sun, Rowdies, Team Inspire merch we have over there for you guys. Links, as always, are in the description below. Be sure to go check that out. Pick up yourself a cool t-shirt. Helps us out, helps support the show, and you get a cool t-shirt out of it as well. All right, looking ahead here for the Bolts. Here is the schedule still on this nice homestand that the Lightning have been on here. Their next game will be on Tuesday, the 31st, against the Montreal Canadiens at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then they will take on the Pittsburgh Penguins on Thursday. That is April 2nd at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then they'll have the Boston Bruins on Saturday, again at Benchmark International Arena. That's the last game of the homestand. That one at 5 p.m. Eastern. A couple of weird start times for the Bolts in this homestand, but a couple more games to round out being here at home. And then it's the home stretch. One more trip on the road for the Bolts, and then they'll have two more games at home. We are getting down to the wire here, guys, before we get ready to start the playoffs. I don't know what the magic number currently is. I haven't been looking at it too much, but we're getting ever so close to being ready to go for this postseason.
That's crazy. So you're saying it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday schedule? Unheard of. Yeah. Simply unheard of.
Don't worry. They're throwing us a curveball with a Monday 7 o'clock game.
We do have a back-to-back right after on that road trip.
Oh, we're gonna have to figure out when we're gonna run the podcast, because yeah, it is a Monday and Tuesday. Maybe we'll go before the Buffalo game on Monday and just try to wrap up before 7 o'clock hour.
It is a nationally broadcasted game, so we probably, even at the ripe hour of 7:21, still have a little bit of time left. But no, I mean, this coming week, I mean, all three teams fighting for their playoff lives. Maybe not so much Montreal, but a little bit of a sampler of potential playoff matchups. You know, do your homework, learn from these teams what their, you know, strengths and weaknesses are. Again, they're gonna not be easy wins, but man, please, you know, play your best and learn what these guys are going to do. So a really nice sampler, a flight of potential playoff opponents.
I like it.
Yeah, they've got a lot of matchups here coming up for the Bolts when it's in-division matchups. And as you mentioned, Matt, teams that could potentially be playoff matchups. So it'll be interesting. We'll be here to break it all down for you guys, though, as always. Again, don't forget to follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning. Ring that bell for notifications, hit that subscribe button, all that good fun stuff. I appreciate you guys hanging out with us as always. But that's going to do it for us in this episode. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.